So our subject is Psalm 1. And that's what's so wonderful about God's Word is I don't know how many times you and we have read the Bible, but it never gets old. And it always reminds us of things and teaches us to stay in the path, and that's why we need to be in this book every day. So if we look at this little short psalm, only six verses, and I think many of us most probably know this, but the psalms weren't just thrown together haphazard. You know, they're in a certain order, and this is an important psalm because it gives all information that the rest of the scripture is also going to give about salvation, and that there's two paths and there's two destinies, and which one are we on? And explains what these two paths are. And then the beauty of the Psalms, these unbelievable, deep, personal sharings that the people in the Psalms write. You know, Psalm 51 and David, and he is crying out to the Lord. And you just say, you know, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses that we better stay in the path and stay on the mark. But this psalm, it starts out, little verse, let's look at the first verse. It says, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. And we think about that, and we think, you know, what is that telling us? We're not supposed to be there, but how often do you hear the counsel of the ungodly? Every day. We can't escape it. We read newspapers or magazines. We listen to the TV. You know, we listen to the news. And we hear the counsel of the ungodly. And our families hear the counsel of the ungodly. So we need to guard ourselves, and we need to guard our children and make sure that this counsel is not what takes root in us. And God's word says, blessed is the man that does not stand in the way of sinners. And again, you're aware. You go to work, and are everybody people who love the Lord? They're not. You know, how wonderful it is we're in the workplace, and teaching high school for a lot of years, I had about three close Christian friends in that school. And what a blessing that was, you know, that we could talk and we could strengthen each other. But in the meantime, you know, so many of these people that were involved, and they were nice, good, friendly people, but they're ungodly people. And we hear that every day. We're standing in their path, and we really have to guard our heart and our mind. And sitting in the seat of the scornful, and I look at my own life and Jan's life, and I think, how often are we blessing people and blessing God in our communication? How many times are we complaining? And how easy it is to get into that habit. And I've been around complainers, and pretty soon, what are you doing? Yeah, you know, that's true. And right now, the subject is politics. And every day we're complaining. And it's good to know the truth, and it's good to stand for what we believe, but we should spend just as much time blessing the Lord and speaking about the Lord and our love for Him and what He's done for us. So just in one verse, you say, wow, here we go. We got two paths and two destinies. One is God's way, and one is the way of the world. Okay, so what should we be doing? It says, his delight. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. And just like where Paul said, we should be praying unceasingly. You think, what do you mean? Am I supposed to be in church all day, every day? You know, should I be in a cave meditating? No, but we need to be following this. Our delight has to be in the law of the Lord, and we need to be meditating it on day and night. So I just think about, you know, what God's Word says. And every morning and afternoon, we take a walk with our dogs, and we look at God's creation. And what's so wonderful is that just verses will come to mind. You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you say, wow, yes, this is all of this, you know. And you look at so many psalms, and I think maybe we'll look at a couple of them, but Psalm 19 and Psalm 119, and some of these verses come to mind, and you say, hey, wow. And this is the meditating on, you know, God's Word all day long. And it's such a blessing, but it also is not easy, because before you can meditate on things, unless you have God's Word in front of you, if we're to be meditating on this continually, those things have to be in our mind. So we have to be in God's Word enough that when we're out and we see things, or when we're talking to people, or when we're having difficult times, God's Word comes to mind to bless us. And His Holy Spirit does that. But we have to do our part. We have to be in this book. And it seems like the older you get, that's, on one hand, you got some things really there that you can just pop up like this. On the other hand, we get rusty. My wife, Jan, at one time could recite the whole book of Ephesians, right? And other scriptures too. But now, you know, can you do that? And no, probably not. You know, there's verses, and wow, you remember the verses, but we need to be disciplined. And I just look at myself and I say, well, that's why I want to be every day in His Word. And we both memorized, and I had such wonderful experiences doing that. And one of my greatest pleasures in Awana, beside working with the kids, every week I'd meet with a friend of mine, and we'd get together for breakfast. And we said, hey, if we were having the kids recite these verses every week, we should be doing it too. So we would recite the verses to each other. And we both got a Timothy Award, which is, hey, the award you get for memorizing all these verses. And it was just a blessing to be with somebody and speak about God and speak about God's Word and showing we had it in our heart. So our delight is in the law of the Lord. Let's look at a couple of these places. Let's look at Psalm 119. And again, this is things I think that many of us know, but the Psalms have quite a few Psalms. They're acrostic Psalms. And the writers have taken the trouble and the enjoyment of putting the psalm in order of the Hebrew alphabet. So there's different psalms, and every verse is one letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So if you're reading the psalms and you see it has 22 verses, you say, hey, well, that must be an acrostic psalm, because every verse, the first one is an alpha, and the last one is in what, omega? I'm the alpha and the omega. Okay, the beginning and the last, they go through the whole alphabet. Each verse is in that letter. Psalm 19 says, hey, we're going to do it a lot better than that. We're going to put a number of verses. So I think there's 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 verses. Each sections, and there's 22 sections of this psalm. Each section, each one of those 7 verses are in that letter of the alphabet. So if you have a study Bible, it'll go through, and it says, okay, we start out, and we're in alpha, alf. So in the Greek, it's alpha. In the Hebrew, it's elf, and beth, and gimel, and daleth. And each one of those verses are in that that letter. But what's more a blessing is each one of those verses speak about God's Word. So here we've got a psalm with 178 verses, I believe. Every one, and I think there's two exceptions where it breaks from that to do something else. Each one of it talks about God's word. So if we look at probably my favorite verses in this psalm, verses 97 to 105, we just look at these verses. 97 starts out, "Oh, how I love your law." Okay, there it's mentioning God's word. "It is my meditation all the day." So there's another reference to that Psalm 1 gives. This needs to be in our life, God's word. It needs to be in our thoughts. If we're not having God's thoughts in our mind, other things creep in which aren't good. "You, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me." So it's God's commandments, God's word it's talking about. Verse 99, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation." The testimonies, God's word. And this is a section I used to use with kids at school in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I say, "Hey, look at this. You got teachers, some of them you like, some of them you don't like. But if you have God's word, you've got more understanding than all your teachers." You know, "For the testimonies are my meditation." Verse 100, "I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts." And again, this us and young people, you tell them, hey, you want wisdom. This is where wisdom comes from. "I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to the honeycomb." And Psalm 19 tells us the same thing as that. "Through your precepts I get understanding, and therefore I hate every false way." And verse 105 is a verse I think that many of us know. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So every time I read these, I think, wow, you know, this is really, really neat. Let's look at one more verse dealing with this. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, I believe it is. Yep. In this section, in chapter 6, let's see, starting out with verse 4, that section is called, if I pronounce it right, the Shema. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And this is something that the Jewish people, who are God's people, say every time they meet, probably. And they think this is a key part. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one," and it gives us directions. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you're sitting in the house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." And I think that's what Psalm 1 is telling us. Hey, you know, we're not sitting in the seat of the scornful and with these worldly people. We are associating with God's people whenever we can, and in His Word. "And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them upon the post of your house and on your gates." Okay, so what the point is, we need this before us continually. And when we do that, it really kind of keeps us where we belong. Going back to Psalm 1, we go to the next verse. It says, now what is the contrast? Here we've seen the world and the path of the world. You know, destiny of the world, which it comes to both of the destiny of both parts right now. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And I just thank Pastor Lindsay for the hymns that we sang today, because that's what it's saying. You know, standing on the promises of God and the wonderful words of life which it gives, and our God reigns. And what a beautiful message. When we are believing that, when we are living that, we're like this tree. We have a foundation. We're firm. We're planted. We're not going to be moved. And we bring forth fruit in our season. And we don't see this instantly. I've told you before, Jan and I were married for 6 years, and we were wanting kids. In the first year or two, we were thinking, hey, we don't need to have kids really fast. And by year six, when we're trying to have a baby and it doesn't happen, we decided we wouldn't be having any children. And Jan was told by her doctor, yes, you'd probably have a lot of trouble ever getting pregnant. And so we'd kind of given up, and then all of a sudden Jan got the flu, and she wasn't feeling good and ended up going to the doctor, throwing up. And this was Dr. Abadir. Okay, he delivered all three of our babies. We got in there, and he went and he examined her, and he laughed. He said, I can tell you what's wrong with you. And she's thinking, what is this? He went and got a heart monitor, and he put it on her stomach, and you could hear the heartbeat. And, you know, what an emotional time. And he said, he called Susan, this is your blessed baby, that's a blessing. And it's probably the only one you'll have. Well, what a blessing. 2 years later, we have Daniel, and not even 2 years later, we have Andrew. And so God blessed us more and more. So, you know, we're planted by the rivers of water, and it brings forth fruit in its season. We don't know when it's going to be, but we know we stay in God's path, and, you know, it's going to be good things. We might have a rough life. We might suffer, but we have his joy and his assurance and his promise of salvation and his strength through his Holy Spirit and his forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. And so you say, wow, this is all blessings to us. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And if we're in God's path, we will prosper at least in those ways that God says is important to us. Okay, so now we get the contrast. The ungodly are not so, but they're like chaff which the wind drives away. And I think what beautiful word pictures God's word gives us. You can visualize these things. You can visualize this tree, strong, planted in a good place. It's well watered and it's growing and it's rooted. And here we see what are the contrasts. They're like the chaff where the wind drives away. Empty, useless, okay, of no good. And I just think, let's see, what verse is it? Romans 6, I think it is. It says, what fruit do you have of those things that you're now ashamed? You know, for the end of things, these things is death. And that's what it's saying, empty, worthless. And I look at my life and I say, well, I'm in God's path. What is the fruit that's going on? You know, when I have not been in God's path, what's the fruit of that? You know, disaster. And I think if each one of us examine our lives, we can see that. And we're so weak and sinful, and we get into things we don't even intend to ever get into. And we need God's forgiveness, and we need his power in our life. But this shouldn't be the pattern of our life. You know, it should be the pattern of our life. We're in his path. And the more you grow in strength through God, the more you're not going to be going down those other paths. And I've heard all of these analogies, you know. You can have an accident in the car once in a while, but this shouldn't be the pattern in your life, having accidents all the time. There's something very wrong. Or Let's see, what's another one? You've heard all of those things, you know, where they're telling us, we had a pastor at Emmanuel, an old pastor, and he was the one who first visited our house after we went to Emmanuel the first time, and he kind of counseled us and encouraged us, and what a blessing he was. But he said, you know, sin in your life, he said, it's like you take a spike and you put it in a telephone pole. He said, you can pull that spike out of the telephone pole, but the house is going to remain, or the hole is going to remain. And that's the way sin is. You know, we can make mistakes and cry out to the Lord and he forgives us, but there's going to be scars in our life because of that. And I just think of King David in Psalm 51, and he's crying out to God because of the sin that he's committed. And God forgave him. But because of the sins in his life, you look at his life and his life is a mess. He's a man after God's own heart and he's forgiven, but he's made mistakes. You know, the scripture has told him that you should bind yourself to one wife. The scripture tells him and all the other kings and people, hey, you don't get all kind of gold and silver to yourself and all these type of things. And I don't understand. And the scripture directs the kings. You will read this every day. And you wonder how many of those kings actually had it, just like we have God's word. We have God's word every day. We're supposed to read it. But if we don't, hey, we're going to make mistakes. And David was that way. He did not follow those things. His family was a horrible disaster. You know, one son killing another son. From a different wife. You know, that son that was killed, he was killed because he raped a sister of his who from another wife of David's. And you say, man, all of these difficult times he had, he was a great man and he loved the Lord and he did wonderful things. But because of his actions, he went astray and it caused scars in his life and in his family life and damage to other people. And that's the way it is in our life. And I can look at my life and see that, and I think you can look in your life and see that. That we make mistakes, and I guess we should say we don't make mistakes, we sin against God, and there's going to be a penalty for that. And it's not God saying, I'm going to burn you and throwing a lightning bolt. It's our actions and our choices. And I think that our wonderful, loving, blessing God who gave us free choice. You say, man, if I would make the world, I've heard people say this, if we have these temptations, we fall, why didn't God make us so we wouldn't do that? Well, do you want to be a robot? You know, God in his love said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give you freedom. You can choose me or you don't have to choose me. I'm going to give you my word of truth. You can follow it or you don't have to follow it. And so sin came into the world through Adam and Eve. And ever since then, you look at Noah and the flood. You look at Sodom and Gomorrah. You look at Israel and their ups and their downs deep in, you know, bad places because of their actions. And you say, yeah, that free will is something we really like, or freedom of choice, I should say. But, you know, we're responsible for our actions. And we want to stay in that path. So here are these ungodly people. They're like chaff which your wind blows away. And when we make mistakes, those actions are the same way. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And I just think of how horrible and how terrible that is. And I get really angry with all of the, you know, goings on in our nation and our government with the abortion and the homosexuality. And I think, you know, why doesn't God just destroy all of these people? And then I think, and just like the writer of Psalm 73 and the writer of Psalm 37, in Psalm 73, the man is lamenting, look at all this evil. Look at all the power the wicked have. They don't have the problems we have. They're feasting and rejoicing, and they have whatever they want in life. And he's really down. And he's looking to the Lord. And then he realizes, he said, then I came to the house of the Lord. And I understood their end. I think that's all we have to think. You know, we have to think, all this evil going on, oh wow, there's going to be a horrendous end for those people. And that's why we should be salt and light and being reaching out. And I just look at in Revelation, in chapter, I think it's chapter 20, and God's word tells us that. It tells us that, you know, the way of the wicked is going to come to an end. So I'll read that starting in verse 11. The end of time. I saw a great white throne. I saw him that sat on it, in whose face the earth and the heaven are fled away, and there was found no place for them. And so God's people have already been going there with the Lord now, and these are all the dead that have died throughout the ages who are not God's people. So he says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of the fire, and this is the second death. And here's the horrible thing. Whoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And you think, how horrible, you know, can it be? How much, you know, we can empathize. And I think of the rich man and Lazarus in the Gospels. And he's in hell. He's suffering. He's in Hades. And he can communicate with Abraham. I guess it's with Abraham. He's crying out, you know, this is a place of suffering. Just give me a drop of water to put on my tongue. And Abraham tells him, no, there's a gap between these places you can never reach. You can never come. And he cries out and he says, well, then send to my brothers on earth and tell them, you know, the truth. And Abraham says, hey, and just think of how true this is. Even if someone rose from the dead and went to speak to them, they could not hear it. And you hear all of the truth that's in Scripture that people have, all the evidence there is for that this is reliable and this is the way to live, and yet they refuse to hear it, they choose not to hear it, they choose not to respond, and their heart becomes hardened, and they're lost. So I just love God's word, and this psalm is a little short description of life and of the path that we choose. And I think pretty much all of us here hopefully know the Lord, and we're saved people. And I don't want to get in trouble, but I think of the verse, once saved, always saved. I believe that. Okay, but I think there's too many people that say, when all I have to do is say these words, and other people think, and it's with their emotions, and they're crying out to God, save me, Lord. But then they drift away. Okay, so this truth, this salvation is not intellectual. We know that. This truth is not the result of emotion where it's temporary. This truth is something we take into our life and our heart and our being. And how do we know we've done that? Because we walk in that path from then on till the time we die. Are we going to make mistakes? Are we going to screw up? Yes, we are. And God is faithful, and we cry out to him like David did, and he forgives us. But if we go off that path, and we're a part of the world and the world system, it means this was never a true profession. So we need to be assuring ourselves, and we know that. We know, are we saved? The Bible tells us we can know we're saved. We're saved when we've cried out and we want Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. But because we do that, we're going to be walking in that path. And that's what tells us, wow, your destination is in heaven. What a blessing to see men and women that we see that in their whole life. And the Bible says, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, you know, throughout all of this word, and these witnesses are both evil men and women and good men and women, and they teach us. And these witnesses should tell us to keep in the path. So I'll close and say, what a blessing is this book. How truthful is this book? How powerful is this book? And I just encourage each one of us, don't be negligent in taking this truth, because this keeps us on the path and it keeps us where we need to be. And this is, we need to be salt, we need to be light, we need to be sharing this with other people. And that's our position now as Christians. We're ambassadors, okay? We're here for a purpose, and that's the way I want to be, and that's the way you want to be. So God bless you. Amen. Amen.